Last week, I started the sermon off talking a little bit about stories and how stories begin. And I got sort of the same theme going this week. It just sort of worked out that way. But as we know, every story has a beginning. Whether it's the first page of a book or a novel, whether it was the day that you were born, the day that you met your spouse, the day that your children were born, every story can trace its origins. Everything starts somewhere. At the beginning of John's gospel account, we get the very beginning. The beginning of John's gospel goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That is the beginning of John's Gospel. A poetic way of rephrasing Genesis 1. It's a passage that captures our imagination. It sparks us. And it explains the divine origin of Jesus and His purpose for and in all of creation. And then the narrative shifts to a new beginning. If you read in John chapter 1, after that narrative of the Word, we then learn about a man named John who came to prepare the way. John baptized people in the waters of the Jordan River, and he proclaimed that another would come, and that this other would baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. John is the precursor to Jesus. John gets us ready to hear about Jesus. Jesus who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, John is, of course, known as John the Baptist, because that's what he did. He baptized people. Yet he was always very humble about the work that he was doing. John always pointed to the one who would come. John always pointed to Jesus. If people thought that John was doing great and wondrous things in the name of God, just wait, he told them. Just wait until you see the next guy. So John baptizes with water, promising that one who would come, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that person is Jesus. And he does come. Except that Jesus does not baptize anyone. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus does not baptize anyone. Throughout all of Scripture, Jesus doesn't baptize anyone. Our passage this morning is perhaps a notable exception about we're speaking about the Holy Spirit, because Jesus doesn't speak about the Holy Spirit very often, especially not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He speaks about Him in John. So what was John going on about? What was John the Baptist going on about Jesus baptizing people in the name of the Holy Spirit? Well, perhaps reading into this as a literal baptism, the only thing that John got wrong was the timing of things. You see, Jesus needs to leave before the Spirit can come and do its work. And last week was Ascension Sunday, and Jesus goes up, ascends to the right hand of the Father, making room for the Spirit to come down and do its work. Jesus needs to create space for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit, which will come, and it will testify on Christ's behalf. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus calls the Spirit of Truth, will come and testify. We see a clear connection between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit which serves as our permanent lifeline, if you will, to God and Jesus. Our continual reminder of God's love for us and the evidence of God's radical love for creation. The Holy Spirit comes to illuminate the truth. And what is the truth, you might ask? Well, I think our reading from Acts helps illuminate a little of what the truth is. And it happens when Peter stands up and addresses the crowd. And how I wish I could get up the way Peter did, that I had his courage. But calling forward from the words of the prophet Joel, Peter reminds those assembled that it will be in the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. I don't know about you, but that passage gives me chills. That our children will prophesy and see visions. That we will dream dreams. All of which is a part of the promise that we receive when the Holy Spirit descends upon us. Now consider that the Holy Spirit comes to testify to the truth. Jesus tells us as much, that the Holy Spirit comes to testify, and then he continues by saying and commanding the disciples to also go out and testify, because they have been there with Jesus from the beginning. And friends, I believe that we too are also called to go out and to testify. And what is it we are to testify about? Well, the truth. Which leads us back to that question. What exactly is the truth? Truth can be subjective, can't it? What is true for me and in my life may not be true for you. So perhaps we should ask, what truth are we to testify to? And that, I believe, is simple. It's found in Scripture. It's found in the words and in the deeds of Jesus Christ. We look to Scripture and we can find the truth. The Holy Spirit comes and it separates right from wrong, and in doing so, it illuminates the truth. In his life and death, Jesus tells the disciples that he fulfilled the teaching of the prophet, the law, and the Psalms. And so consider what it is that Jesus has taught us. Consider his teachings in the Gospels. Concerning the law, Jesus tells us that the most important law, or the most important commandment, is to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus doesn't emphasize strict observance to Sabbath, nor following dietary laws. Instead, Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. These are the most important laws. If another law prohibits your ability to follow this law, then ignore it. love your neighbor comes first. And the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke's Gospel is perhaps the best example of loving your neighbor and showing how the other laws got in the way of doing that. Part of the truth that Jesus reveals to the disciples, the high priests, and the Pharisees is that we have become more concerned with keeping law, of following rules, than we have in caring for and loving other people. And I believe that message of loving rather than following rules is a problem for us today as well. Now, please understand that I'm not asking or requesting that we throw out the rule book, that we get away from a law-abiding society. But I am concerned that in our world today, we follow a spirit of rules rather than a spirit of truth and grace. Consider this. When we ask homeless people to move along or find somewhere else to sleep, rather than finding them a bed to sleep in, we are neglecting the spirit of truth. When we ridicule and demean others because it's easy or feels good, we're neglecting the spirit of truth. When we dismiss or ignore issues of mental health because we find them difficult to deal with or problematic, we are neglecting the spirit of truth. When we ignore issues of justice because it might put us against the status quo, we are neglecting the spirit of truth. When we label children as problematic, too energetic, instead of reaching them and talking to them on their level, we are ignoring the spirit of truth. When we advocate for war instead of praying for peace, we are neglecting the spirit of truth. We are called, just as the disciples were, to testify to the truth. And we have Jesus to look to as our teacher, our Savior, and our Lord. His example, his teaching and healing ministry are the truth that the world so greatly needs to hear. The message of his love for us, his dying on the cross for us, and his defeat over the power of death is a message that all the world needs to hear today. Theologian Douglas John Hall writes that the cross reveals the compassionate determination of God to bring the human creature to the full realization of its potentiality for authenticity. That divine grace does not intend to make us into someone else, but to make us the self that we are before God. This is the good news. This is the truth that needs to be shared. That God desires to be in relationship with us. That God desires for us to all be in proper relationship with one another. This is part of what Christ came to tell us. And so long as we ignore and disregard this message of truth, so long as we choose to follow rules, or really follow our own hearts instead of the heart of God, then we rebel against God. And we push and turn away from God. We rebel against God when we refuse to allow His grace and mercy, which were so freely given, to rule in our lives. Jesus tells us that the Spirit of truth will come and testify, and that we should do likewise. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus also refers to as the advocate or the helper. That's right. The advocate, the helper. We have someone with us every step of the way. Friends, the Holy Spirit is depicted as descending like a dove, and it is also depicted as descending like tongues of fire. A fire which should ignite us to share the good news, to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ, to share the good news about God's love for creation. That is what Pentecost is about. So let's get on board the Spirit of Truth. Let's testify to that message. Let's dream dreams. Let's have visions. And let's prophesy about how the world will change when the message of God's truth is shared with all people in all places at all times. Amen.